Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. On today's show, we're talking about the danger of reading headlines and making decisions based on those headlines. A few months ago, I reported on the podcast about the Corporate Transparency Act. This is a new regulation that requires millions of companies across the United States to disclose additional beneficial ownership information to the government. Well, on Friday of last week, March 1st, in a 53-page opinion, U.S. District Court Judge Lyles Burke granted a summary judgment for the National Small Business Association, ruling that the Corporate Transparency Act was unconstitutional, and it permanently enjoined the government from enforcing the act against the plaintiff. Now, in the lawsuit filed back in 2022, the National Small Business Association contended that the Corporate Transparency Act unfairly burdened small businesses by requiring them to divulge highly personal details to the government. In addition, the Small Business Association argued that small businesses could face average costs of about $8,000 per company in the first year of compliance. Now, the judge's ruling states, and I quote, that it transcends the limits imposed by the Constitution on the legislative branch, and it lacks a strong connection to any enumerated power to serve as a necessary or appropriate means to achieve Congress's policy objectives. The judgment is based on the argument that the Corporate Transparency Act goes beyond Congress's legislative authority as outlined in the Constitution. And while the court did not delve into the potential violations of the Constitution, the focus was on Congress surpassing its constitutional boundaries. Now, at first glance, the summary judgment could be read as banning the Treasury and any other agency of the federal government from enforcing the act. But the court's ruling prohibits the act's enforcement only against the National Small Business Association itself and all of its members. So the ban is limited to the National Small Business Association and its roughly 60,000 members. And an estimated 40% of those are probably going to be exempt from providing reports in any case because they might fall under one of the 23 named exemptions or the large business entity filing exemption. Now, given the narrow nature of the summary judgment, unless the Treasury Department suspends enforcement of the act for all 30-plus million businesses that are obligated to file, these beneficial ownership information reports will need to be filed by those tens of millions of businesses, except for the less than 60,000 members to which the decision applies. Now, the Treasury is expected to appeal the summary judgment in its entirety to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. The appeals court would then likely consider the district court's decisions on its merits. Now, keep in mind, the district court did not consider the facts of the case, but they simply ruled on the course, providing a summary judgment ruling on the law. And no matter how the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals rules, this case is likely to end up being presented to the U.S. Supreme Court. So what does this mean for small businesses? In my opinion, it means that probably not much has changed for small business. The judgment applies to a fraction of 1% of the 30 million businesses that are going to be required to file these reports in 2024. And given the extremely limited reach of the ruling, it's doubtful that the Treasury and any arm of the government will issue guidance universally suspending the enforcement of the rule while the appeals process is playing out. So far, there are no other court challenges to the act. That isn't to say we might not see one in the future, but for now, this is the only court case, and the scope of the judgment is extremely narrow. Now, if the law is indeed unconstitutional, maybe there might be a future case, but so far that hasn't happened. According to the Small Business Association, the legislation was viewed as an excessive and unconstitutional imposition on American citizens who are actually not under suspicion of any wrongdoing. The arguments from the Small Business Association cited the compliance challenges, where small business is facing an average cost of $8,000 a year in compliance for the first year. That's a significant burden and it's unjustifiable. But more importantly, the constitutional issues involving the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, and the Fifth Amendment. The court did not render a verdict on those grounds, even though the National Small Business Association voiced apprehensions around the act's violation of the First Amendment, which governs free speech and association, the Fourth Amendment, which provides protection against unreasonable searches and seizures, and the Fifth Amendment, which safeguards against self-incrimination and due process rights. The constitutional considerations form the center of the plaintiff's arguments, but the judge was largely silent on these points. Now, based on everything I've read, it would be a mistake to read the headline and conclude that you won't be required to comply with the new regulation. Now, let's be clear. This is a podcast. I'm not a lawyer, let alone an American lawyer. I am not qualified to speak on these items, and I'm certainly not qualified to advise anyone on these items. I bring this forward so that you can conduct your own research, seek advice from your own legal counsel, and at least be sure that you're asking the right questions. As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.